Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. How are we doing today, Jeff?
Not too shabby. Ready for another fun weekend.
We are. Can't wait for it. You know what, Jeff? What I like about these away games is I don't usually travel to them. And when you have the home game, that like takes up the whole weekend. You don't see the other games. When you get these away games, it's so nice to flip around all day. It's all day college football on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's the way it's supposed to be. In my mind. So all good. And yeah, there's some definitely some games worth watching on Saturday to boot.
Yep. A day of college football in the Barca Lounger can't be beat. And yeah, there is particularly the big game in the Big Ten is Indiana, Ohio State. And we're going to get into the playoff rankings. But one of the things I just keep saying is a lot of people are so worked up about Indiana and where they're ranked. And all I say is just give it a chance. It'll play out. If they beat Ohio State, they're legit. If they get blown out, guess what? They're going to sink like a rock in the rankings.
Yeah, I think with all of this, it's just a matter of trying to, as you said, see how it all plays out. Let everything settle, and then, you know, let's hold off on having all of the major debates. And as we've talked about before, too, Jim, no matter where you draw the line, there will be debates. I mean, there's going to be teams, obviously, when we had the four-team playoff, there were teams that were ranked 5, 6, or even 7 that felt they had a legitimate case. Same thing now that you have 12. And again, you could make it 32, just like with the NCAA basketball tournament. No matter where you draw the line, there's going to be some teams there that will be debatable at the line or around the point of demarcation. And that's just the nature of the sport. What I think makes it more difficult in a sport like college football is that you have a relatively small sample size compared to like basketball. And there's just not, in my mind anyway, a great way to do the comparison game of an SEC team that, let's say, has 2 losses and a Big Ten team that has 1 loss versus an ACC team or even a Mountain West team or what have you, because there's not usually much there in terms of common opponents. And I just think it's really difficult to ascertain whether a 5-touchdown win over an unranked team in the ACC is worth more than a 4-touchdown win over a team in the Big Ten that's near the bottom. It just, to me, is kind of meaningless. And so you do the best you can. You know, you try to use the eye test, but I think that's dangerous too, because, you know, different teams might pass the eye test 1 week and not in another week. It's just the nature of college sports and football in particular, where teams, you know, even the best teams are going to have a day or two where you're like, yeah, this doesn't look like that team. And, you know, even the worst teams are going to look like, yeah, that looks like a pretty decent team here today.
Well, and I think there's another, there's a couple more factors to it. The expanded conferences in both the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference, where it's hard, Jeff, to compare teams within the same conference.
For sure. That's a great point. And you know, we've been talking, Goon Conlon and I on our show this week, last couple weeks, actually, about it feels like the SEC and the Big Ten have kind of done a role reversal this year, where for years the complaint we had was, well, Alabama and Georgia are both there at the end because they didn't play each other. They're not knocking each other off. And this year, with the Big Ten expansion and just kind of the way the schedules have worked out, right, Penn State and Indiana both avoiding Oregon. And, I mean, they're not avoiding them. They're not on the schedule, so that they get to avoid, I guess I should more accurately put it. And by the same token, Oregon gets to not play Penn State or Indiana. And it seems like all of the SEC teams this year, all of the contenders, or most of them, anyway, are playing that kind of round robin scenario. So, yeah, it is difficult when you're not having, ultimately really comparable schedules to accurately assess, all right, this is where this team actually is right now.
Well, that's a good point. And I think specifically with the Southeast Conference over the last several years, you named the teams, Georgia and Alabama have been the best team in the Southeast Conference, the best two teams in the country, or the best of among the three or four best teams in the country.
Yep.
They've been there, been playoff teams. Well, guess what? Southeast Conference doesn't have that within their own conference this year. They don't have the two elite teams. And I find it fascinating that the teams who are still with just one loss in their conference are Texas and Texas A&M. Well, A&M has a loss out of conference to Notre Dame, and their best win is LSU, who has four losses, Jeff. Texas, they are the highest-ranked Southeast Conference team. They have just one loss in conference, got manhandled by Georgia. What is Texas's best win? Do you know?
It's a great question, a great point. And listen, this is another discussion we've been having, is how much credit do you give Texas for the Michigan win? And I don't mean that that Michigan win looks like it's a great win, but they scheduled a game at Michigan. You're scheduling that game with the idea that we're going to give ourselves a big test. Now, sometimes it works out and sometimes you don't. And obviously if they were facing the Michigan from a year ago, that's a game that takes on a different magnitude with the way this season has played out. But that's the other difficulty. Like Indiana, clearly with its non-conference schedule, wasn't trying to schedule a big test. They were trying to schedule three W's and I think they arrived a little earlier than they probably were expecting, but I think they were, you know, trying to build some confidence within that program with the early season schedule. Well, how much do you penalize them for being, hey, we're arriving sooner than we thought? And yeah, there's no question that Texas's schedule is bad, but it wasn't. I mean, they tried to schedule a big time game on the road nonetheless. And, you know, it didn't work out because they happened to get a year where Michigan has lost its coach and a lot of its talent from the year before. And, you know, that's just kind of the luck of the draw. And you can look at that again, the luck being either good luck or bad luck. Good luck that they got the win and it was a fairly comfortable win on the road. The bad luck being it's not an impressive looking victory with the way the Michigan resume has played out.
Well, I'll look at it this way. I'll give the Texas scheduler a top 10 ranking. The team, I'm not going to give them credit for that. And the same thing with Indiana. I don't want to penalize the team for their scheduler doing a bad job.
Yeah.
And you're right, though. The schedule, when they scheduled it, hey, they were just concerned about making a bowl game, getting six wins. And if they could pocket three wins out of conference, hey, good for them. You know, they could get to a 6-6 or 7-5 record. And that was realistic as a goal for Indiana. But I think within the Southeast Conference, you look at Georgia's schedule. They had Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Texas, not to mention Clemson out of conference.
Yep.
So, Georgia, when I hear these arguments about strength of schedule, I pretty much only give credence to that for Georgia. Like when I hear that from the other teams in the Southeast Conference, like Alabama, guess what, Alabama? Don't lose to Vanderbilt. Penn State will get crushed if they lose to Minnesota. And you know what? Rightfully so.
Yep.
But Alabama, same boat. You have no excuse for that second loss. And by the way, Ole Miss, your losses to Kentucky and LSU, who, by the way, has four losses, that's on Ole Miss. That's on Alabama. That's my take on it, Jeff. So I think that whole Southeast Conference argument that, oh, we're better than one-loss Big Ten teams when we have two losses, If you're Georgia, I'll listen. If you're other teams, not so much.
Yeah, and even with Georgia, though, Jim, that, so, yeah, no question, strength of schedule, very good. But they weren't really competitive in the Ole Miss game. I mean, Ole Miss kind of blew their doors in, and they have – I get it's a win and credit for win, but they beat, record-wise, a not very good Kentucky team, a Kentucky team that's not going to a bowl game this year by, what was it, a point or two? I'm forgetting the exact
It was very close, though.
I think it was like 14-12 or 13-12, something like that. Well, even with Georgia, this is what I'm saying. It's just difficult. Like, no question. I give Georgia a ton of credit for the win over Tennessee and blowing them out. But you've also, again, the Ole Miss game wasn't competitive. The Alabama game at the time, a very entertaining game. And we thought, man, a couple of the top powers in the country. And maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't think at this point anybody can say with any certainty that, oh yes, this is clearly, those two teams are two of the top four teams or not two of the top 10 teams. I think there's arguments to be made in both cases. And so that's what I think is difficult. When you have a more challenging schedule, yes, you ought to get credit for the schedule, but you do have a couple of losses in there and a not very impressive win. And then you do have a couple of impressive wins in there. Well, so what do you do with all of that if another team didn't get tested, but they've looked, they've blown everybody's doors off, which pretty much Indiana has to this point? I really don't know what the fair or the right way to look at that is. It's just really difficult because it's two entirely different seasons, entirely different profiles. And again, I think there's some good and bad to be gleaned from both, but I really don't know how we're supposed to sit here and accurately compare and contrast Indiana and Georgia with what they've done this season. I have no idea what they would do if they met each other. None.
Well, that's an interesting point, Jeff. And your question is, how do you do this? What is the right way to do it? How do you compare essentially apples and oranges? You know what, Jeff? When we come back, I'm going to tell you how to do it, okay?
Nice.
I am going to give you the answers to all of your questions. I'm going to clear it up, and by the end of the segment, you're going to be saying, Jim, why are you not in charge of this? We'll do that when we come back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, Enjoy Cafe Tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about the college football playoff rankings, and we're going to solve it all for you, Jeff. We're going to take care of it right here. Now, first of all, Indiana, and it to me, it's such wasted energy worrying too much about, their strength of schedule is so bad. Yeah, that's part of the equation. But so far, they've taken care of business. They have. But they still have to play Ohio State. So my take on Indiana, I'm not going to pass judgment till after this weekend because it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I think Ohio State's going to win. But you know what? Indiana has a shot at it. And if they win it, guess what? They probably deserve to be. That is probably the best win in the country. Over undefeated Ohio State in Columbus.
Yep.
You know what? They've earned it at that point. But until then, I don't care where they're ranked. And by the way, I think they're playing for their playoff life, Jeff. If they get spanked, I think there's a chance they drop out of the top 10, 11, 12, however it works.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think there's certainly going to be arguments for that and merit to that possibility. I'll be curious to see what actually happens if that scenario, and we may never learn, because the most interesting thing to me, like, again, if it's 52-0 Ohio State, it's going to be hard for Indiana to make a case that, boy, we definitively belong right in the playoffs. What I think the most difficult scenario to me for the committee to try to figure out is if it's like a, you know, 14-17 or 17-21 point win, where it's not really competitive, but it's not like they got their doors kicked in, like a 31-10 game. Well, if that's your only chance to really prove yourself, my guess is that that scenario allows Indiana in. I think they still become the fourth Big Ten team in. I don't think they get a home game in that scenario, but I think they're still in. But I think it's I think there will be people, and they'll have a legitimate argument to say, yeah, I don't think Indiana should be there, because really in that one opportunity the entire season they had to kind of prove themselves, they didn't really. But I think that's the one. Again, if it's a nail biter of a game, I think everybody feels comfortable saying, yep, Indiana should be certainly part of a 12-team playoff, obviously, if they win. But I think if they get in that kind of middle territory where it's not just an absolute housing, but it's a decent game for the better part of it, but Ohio State wins, again, comfortably at the end, I think that's where it becomes tricky in terms of, all right, where does that compare then, that Indiana team with like an Alabama, which, again, has a, no question, a better schedule, but also a loss to Vanderbilt, and I think some real question marks still surrounding that team, even though I do think Alabama's been playing much better here down the stretch.
Well, I think the feeling with Indiana is they haven't proven anything yet, and they have a chance to do that. If they lose and lose respectably, I think they'll stay within the playoffs, but that whole Southeast Conference argument that our two-loss Alabama, our two-loss Georgia, our two-loss Ole Miss are better than Indiana, well, guess what? I think if Indiana loses, they'll drop below those teams, even if they stay in the playoff. So that ends that argument, which, again, I think that solves the issue. The next question is, you know, we were debating Georgia with their two losses but plenty of good wins. You know what? Put them to the top of the two-loss teams because they have the best wins. Pretty simple. I know Georgia has lost to both Ole Miss and Alabama head-to-head. But my feeling is, you know what? What's a worse loss? Georgia losing to Alabama or Alabama losing to Vanderbilt? I think at that point, we're now, I would take into account quality of wins. And I think Georgia has more quality of wins than the other two. Georgia goes to the top of the two-loss stack. There's your answer, Jeff. What do you think?
I'm okay with all of that. The team that I think becomes really intriguing to me to watch in the SEC is Tennessee, because Tennessee does not have one of those marquee wins. None of their wins. Now, they have a tough schedule, but I shouldn't say no marquee wins.
They beat Alabama.
Yeah, they beat Alabama. But again, it's an Alabama team that lost to Vanderbilt. And I don't want to over-hype that part. But at that time of the year,
they also have an awful loss to Arkansas, by the way.
Yeah, I think so. It's I think, very, very debatable. And again, they got the score, I think, was a little deceiving in the Georgia game. Georgia was completely in control of that game. I mean, 31-17, yes, I think, was the final. That doesn't sound, and it wasn't a beatdown, but I mean, there was no question Georgia was the better team that day in that game. I don't know with, yeah, Tennessee to me is really interesting because, yeah, they have the bad loss to Arkansas. They have the one, I would call it quality win over Alabama, and then a bunch of kind of, you know, okay, whatever wins. And again, the one opportunity they had after that loss to Alabama to kind of, or after the loss to Arkansas to prove themselves was Georgia, and they just weren't really that competitive in that game. So that's a two-loss team in the SEC that I think, I don't think the resume stacks up with some of the other resumes in the SEC right now.
I agree with that. And you know what? The rankings reflect that. They are the last of that group, and they need help to get in, which I think is legitimate. So you know what? Tennessee, you want to complain about it? Don't lose to Arkansas. And
yeah, that's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's the point where when I hear this Southeast Conference, oh, they're all so good and beating up on each other, you can't justify losing to Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. To me, you've lost all your arguments. And Tennessee, they need something like Notre Dame to lose or Indiana to lose badly to Ohio State and get knocked out. I think that's fair. The other thing that they might have, and I thought when you were saying this is the intriguing team in the Southeast Conference, I thought you were going to mention Texas. Boy, they better beat Texas A&M, Jeff.
Yeah, listen, if Texas A&M wins that game, and I think there's a very good chance of it anyway, this whole SEC – and especially if Indiana is competitive with Ohio State, they say they lose by a touchdown or 10 points. To me, then the Big Ten, presuming that Indiana and Penn State take care of business in the rest of the games and Ohio State takes care of business against Michigan, you're going to have the four Big Ten teams, meaning you're going to have four SEC teams, which, again, if the scenario plays out the way I'm saying, A&M beats Texas, I think there's a very good chance that Texas is one of the two-loss teams in the SEC left out of the playoff picture when this is all said and done. And again, it's going to come down to resume and quality wins or lack thereof. And when you compare and contrast the other schools, the other teams, I don't know that there's a way you can say that they match up, Texas does, with, in terms of the quality of wins, schools like Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss in particular. And it's going to be an absolutely fascinating scenario. And then, you know, Texas A&M, I mean, you would have to take A&M, you would presume, if they both have two losses, you'd have to take A&M over Texas. With identical overall records in the head-to-head matchup going the Aggies' way. Yeah, and here's the thing with Texas, Jim, is if the Longhorns do lose that season finale with the Aggies, like the potential here, obviously, right now, is that Texas could have a first-round bye and really conceivably could end up being the number one overall seed in these playoffs. And I think more likely right now would be the number two overall seed, presuming, again, Ohio State beats Indiana. I think then the winner of the Buckeyes and the Ducks is your number one overall seed. But Texas, again, I think has an excellent chance to be that two seed if it wins out. But if it loses to Texas A&M in the season finale, the issue is going to be, and again, this is with the assumption that Indiana loses a competitive game to Ohio State. I think that gets Indiana and Penn State, if it wins out, they're in. So that Big Ten has four teams with the other conference allotments going. And listen, Notre Dame could open up another spot for an SEC team. I still think that game with USC at the end of the year, I mean, I'll be rooting like crazy for Army this weekend. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm hoping like heck. I do think that USC game is dangerous for Notre Dame here in the regular season finale. But let's just say Notre Dame wins out. Then there are four spots there for the SEC. Well, you have to then, and if everything goes according to chalk, with the exception of the A&M Texas game, then you have 6 2-loss teams in the SEC. And I think you have to compare and contrast the resumes. And I don't think Texas comes out in the top four of those resumes then. Because ultimately, I think it would come down to probably like Texas A&M and Texas. Well, if you're comparing their resumes, both two losses, A&M wins the head-to-head matchup. To me, that's kind of end of the discussion. And Tennessee would be the other one that I think would be most likely on the outside looking in there. If that scenario were to play out.
If Texas loses that game, they don't have a good win. They do not have a good win. They have Michigan, Oklahoma. These teams are not who they hoped to have been when the season started. So I think, I think Texas goes to the very bottom of those two lost teams.
How do you pretend you didn't see that if you're the committee?
All right. I'm going to give you the answer when we come back, Jeff.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking about this college football playoff, and I am just so fascinated by it, Jeff. And when we finished up in last segment, the question was about if Texas A&M goes to the conference championship game, they beat Texas, they go in. What if they lose that game? Here's the problem for Texas A&M. That would be a third loss. And I realize if it's a field goal game at the end, as opposed to getting blown out, but what if it's just a loss? You know, they lose 21-10. And I think because it's so close, but it's still a third loss, I would find it difficult to put them in ahead of the two loss teams. And we saw even in the four team playoff, you know, Georgia, what, undefeated number one, and they lost that Southeast Conference championship game. And you're out.
I think the difficulty, so to me, it's depending the resumes you're comparing to. And like, so to me, Alabama, obviously, in that case, in Georgia, I think would still be in, and Ole Miss, to me, would be in. Then I think the discussion becomes, I really don't know what you do with it. I think it'll be fascinating to see what the committee decides, because to me, the reason A&M gets to that game in this scenario is they beat Texas. Well, you're going to reward Texas for only having two losses because they didn't get to the SEC championship game because they lost to A&M. That does not make sense to me. That in that scenario, I'm giving A&M the advantage on the resume, and I'm putting them in over Texas. Where I think the debate becomes really intriguing is with Tennessee. And flip a coin to me at the end of the day. I can make a really good, passionate argument either way on this, because to me, you ultimately are going to penalize a team if you're not putting A&M in the field. And I think there's a reasonable argument to be made to not put them in. But there's no question then you're saying we're penalizing you by forgetting to the championship game and not winning against the championship team in your conference. And you're rewarding Tennessee for not being good enough to get to that championship game and have the opportunity. And again, I really could make that argument either way. I just think it's really tough when you look at the resumes, and especially with A&M then obviously having that win over Texas right at the end of the season, which would be impressive in and of itself. But I don't know. It's a really tough situation for the committee to figure out. By the way, this is why the conference championship games are going to be going by the boards much sooner rather than later. The conferences don't want to have
it. I think they'll get rid of that and then make it a 16-team playoff. So
I think that's right.
Instead of playing a conference championship game and getting a bye. And I think my take on it with the conference championship games is, Jeff, it does have to count for something, you know. And if I reverse it and have Alabama getting their third loss in the conference championship game, I think, again, the tiebreaker, I'm calling those conference championship game losses half a loss. It doesn't count as much as a regular season loss, but it does count for something. So if I have a tiebreaker, and let's face it, you know, Alabama, Texas A&M, if they make it there, they'll make it because they only have one conference loss and everybody else has two.
Yep.
But whoever that two-loss team that's going in, they're not – I think the first look is, oh, well, they were better than everyone else by finishing second. Well, really, it's some bizarre tiebreaker, you know, strength of schedule or something that gets them there. I feel like they can be penalized, but – anyway, we could go through all of this for a while. I do want to hit a couple more questions for you. It's related to the rankings. Jeff, who are the four best teams in the country?
Right at the moment, I do think Oregon and Ohio State. I start there. I think Ohio State, I've thought from day one, is the most talented team in the country. That game with Oregon obviously could have gone either way if you know, but a second really was the difference there in all likelihood in that outcome. So, you know, if Will Howard gets down a second or two earlier, we're probably still talking about undefeated Ohio State. And I still think they're the most talented roster anyway in the country. After those two, to me, Jim, it is a jumbled mess. Right at the moment, before Indiana and Ohio State play, I have been impressed with what Indiana's done. I get the competition and the lack thereof, but you know, if you took the Indiana name out of there, and let's just say you put Michigan on that schedule, those results, there would be no question in anybody's mind that that team should be ranked second or third in the country, and they would be. If Michigan played that exact same schedule with the exact same results, exact same statistics, they'd be ranked second or third in the country right now. So to me, Indiana, I right now, I would say they are one of the top four. Now
wait.
I may change my mind dramatically on that come Saturday night.
Well, let me, you know, that I think it brings up the deserving versus best. So do you really think at this point in time, the snapshot right now, Indiana is better than Georgia or Alabama?
Yeah, you know, I think with that offense, I do. And you know, part of this may be my bias because I actually watched a good bit of that Alabama-Vanderbilt game. And again, I get it was a while ago and all of that. But I mean, I watched that game and I'm like, oh, this is not one of those top-tier teams. And Georgia, I've seen – I don't know that I've ever – I don't think I've sat down and watched an entire game of theirs, but I've seen enough. I think Georgia is very good, and obviously the resume over the last bunch of years is fantastic. But if you're asking me if this year's Georgia team is like one of the great vaunted college football teams we've seen, no, it's not. And I think that the lack of consistency bears that out. Now, again, I, c- Could Alabama or Georgia go out and smoke Indiana? Yeah, but I listen, right now as we sit here, what I've seen of Indiana, and again, we'll get a much better feel here on Saturday. I don't think Indiana's going to get blown out. I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State, but I think they are going to give Ohio State some problems with their offense. I think that is a really good offense, and we've seen good offenses give both Alabama and Georgia some problems this year. What I think right now, and again, I will get more information here Saturday, and maybe I come on next week and say that was very foolish not to say Indiana had any business being there. But I really do. I think this is an Indiana team with its scheme and with its confidence level right now. Yeah, I do think Indiana could win a head-to-head matchup with an Alabama or a Georgia on a neutral field. I really do. Now, again, that'd be fool's gold, of course. But, you know, I have questions about Notre Dame still. I mean, Notre Dame has looked terrific since that loss to Northern Illinois. They're blowing people out. I don't know. And this is the thing. I don't know that there's anybody in college football this year where you're like just week in and week out, boy, that is definitely a team that you know is elite. I mean, even Oregon, last week, that wasn't an overwhelming, man, that clearly is the best team in the country type of performance. So to me, that's what's going to make the playoffs fun, is I really do think that the old, you know, on any given day, listen, Georgia on certain days, yep, that looks like the team to beat. Ohio State on certain days, oh, man, nobody's touching them. I think there's probably legitimately 6 to 8 teams that in my mind could get on a roll here, win the head-to-head matchups in the games they need to when we get to the playoffs and end up winning the national title. I don't think, in my mind, there's not a clear-cut overwhelming favorite. But to me, the two most consistently impressive teams are Ohio State and Oregon. After that, I really don't know, Jim. I would make the argument for Indiana right now. I really don't know where my fourth – Texas is good. I don't know that I think that they're really one of the top four teams in the country right now. And ironically, I think if they turn to their backup quarterback right now, I might feel differently about that. And I know yours is having a phenomenal season. But I think if you put Manning in there with that offense, I'd like them a little more than what I do right now. But I don't know that I have a clear cut. Well, this is the fourth team I'd put in there.
Jeff, I think the most important thing you said, there aren't any dominant teams this year. There really aren't. There's not that Georgia, Alabama, or, you know, Michigan last year. There's not that team. And it's pretty crazy. But it leads me to this question, Jeff. What if there were all, if they were still the four-team playoff?
Yeah.
Who are four teams?
Well, I mean, obviously you'd have to see how the Ohio State-Indiana game plays out. I know
let's project Ohio State beats them.
Yeah, just for a second, I want to project it the other way just because of the fun of it. Because we talked about it, I think, a little bit last week, Jim. But, you know, the two-loss teams don't get in the four-team playoff. But we've not had a two-loss team where – and especially, let's say it's a fluky play at the end and Indiana wins by a point. You're going to have an Ohio State team which with two losses, and I think most objective observers agree that that roster is the most talented, most NFL-laden roster in college football this season. Their two losses would be to undefeated teams. I think that is a really compelling argument for the Buckeyes, and I think it would be fascinating because, you know, again, depending on how things play out here with Texas – there may not be an SEC team that doesn't have at least two losses. So to me, Ohio State's resume then, yeah, they would compare with anybody else in the SEC. And I think then it becomes a fascinating discussion. Notre Dame fans will be making the argument for them. And I think everybody else will be pointing out, excuse me, Northern Illinois, what? So it is a really good question. Penn State, if it wins out, I do think this year would be one of the four.
All right, that's it. I've got a Penn State, Ohio State question for you when we come back, Jeff.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. When we last left you, Jeff was explaining to us how if this were a four-team playoff this year, what would happen. And you were projecting Indiana beating Ohio State. Ohio State would have two losses, and might they be a part of the playoffs? If only, Jeff, if only there were a precedent where a team won head-to-head during the regular season and even went on to win the Big Ten championship, but they had two losses and the other team only had one loss. If only, Jeff, there was precedent. Could you think back and see one?
No, I don't think that scenario would ever play out where the two no, that couldn't possibly happen, Jim.
Oh, it's just crazy talk. Crazy talk.
Unless you're thinking 2016, perhaps, but let's not quibble. No, it really would be fascinating. So let's go, though. If Ohio State does do what most of us are expecting and wins that game with Indiana, and you have the four-team playoff, I do think then Oregon and Ohio State would be in. I do think this is the year that the Big Ten would have three teams, and especially if A&M beats Texas, because, again, then everybody in the SEC has two losses. You know, that fourth team becomes really fascinating, Jim, because I think, you have to see how some of this plays out, too. At SMU and Miami, if they do play for the ACC championship, boy, it is such a goofy world. But, you know, then you have a team there with one loss that'll have an argument. Obviously, the SEC champion is certainly going to make a compelling argument. And Notre Dame will be sitting there clamoring that they belong in. I don't see how, if you had the four-team playoff, a team that lost in Northern Illinois can be one of the four. So to me, you would have three Big Ten teams and probably end up taking the SEC champion as well, although I could see potentially the ACC champion sneaking in there as well. Although, really, as I say that out loud, they're not meeting the SEC out of the playoffs no matter what. So I withdraw my previous consideration.
Well, let me tell you what the end result would be. They would say, we can't have this. We need to expand the playoffs. We need 12 teams. I think that would be the end result of it. All right, Jeff, we spent over three segments talking about the permutations. And you're right, we got to wait a little bit. We'll see. Some of it will clear up as we go. But it's an interesting discussion, and it always goes back to that deserving versus best. But let's bring things back home here. Let's talk about this Penn State team that, I shouldn't say this, shouldn't jinx them, Jeff, but boy, are they in a great position. Minnesota, Maryland, I almost feel like they're pretty much locked in to the number six seed in all this, which, to understand, that's not the ranking. Four conference champions will be seeded 1, 2, 3, and 4. I do believe it'll be if Ohio State loses to Indiana, this discussion's the same, but just replace Indiana with Ohio State. If Ohio State beats Indiana, they drop. Ohio State plays Oregon. the loser of that game, I think, even with Ohio State with two losses, I think they'll both be to the number one team in the country. They would be seeded fifth. I think Penn State's pretty much locked into number six, as long as they take care of business.
Yeah. The one other thing, and I'm trying to think how the what the potential rankings are here, but if they, I think they'd be worst case scenario seven if they went out, because I think you could get a fourth. Conceivably, you could have five conference champions. Like if Miami ends up vaulting up to five somehow in the rankings, you could end up still with the top, with all five of the conference champions being the 1 through 5 seeds.
Do you really? But if Miami is, if that would mean vaulting like Boise State.
Yeah, the group of five. Where are we at right now?
Well, what's interesting right now is Boise State, I believe, Miami would win the ACC, but Boise State is ranked higher than anyone in the Big 12.
Right.
So right now, Boise State would get that number 4 seed because they would be the fourth best conference champion. And like Colorado or BYU or Arizona State would get the number 12 seed. So I think those Miami, if they win the ACC, is locked into the number 3 seed. And then either the group of five, let's project Boise State, or the Big 12 winner, one of them would be seeded 4th and one of them will be seeded 12th.
Yep. And listen, there's still a lot. I wouldn't pencil Boise State in as the one loss team just yet. That Oregon State game at the end of the year, and who knows? I mean, it's such a crazy college football season. I wouldn't even rule out Wyoming. But that Oregon State game, I think, has the potential to be disaster here for Boise State. Again, there's still a lot of things that could play out. Regardless, yes, if Penn State takes care of business, the Nittany Lions are going to have a home game at Beaver Stadium in the playoffs. And I just think there's enough maturity. I know there's some concern with the history here with Minnesota. I don't think this is a real good Minnesota team. I think this is a very mature Penn State team. And I really think if Penn State does what it's done all year and take care of the football, not turn it over, much at all at Minnesota, that the Nittany Lions come away with the win and Penn State is in very good shape and will get the home playoff game at Beaver Stadium that fans are anxiously awaiting and hoping for. And for Penn State, again, it's just a matter of you got to go out and take care of business. And I really do think they will this year at Minnesota here on Saturday. Yeah, bottom line, Jim, is if Penn State wins out, takes care of business here against Minnesota, takes care of business against Maryland, they're getting the home playoff game at Beaver Stadium. And that's, I think, what fans really want. It's what the program wants. And listen, I think it is then a chance to change the national narrative and, quite frankly, the Penn State fan base narrative on what this program is or where it is under James Franklin. And I was listening to Joel Klatt earlier this week on Fox Sports Radio, and he was talking about – he was asked – I think Dan Patrick had him on and was asking, you know, what do we make of Penn State? And Klatt, I think, fairly and accurately said, right now they are what they've been. But they'll have a chance to change where we think of them. But right now we think of them as a 6-10 program, a team that would have been in the playoffs regularly if we had the 12-team playoff, but not a team that would be contending for a national title, one of the top 4 teams. And that is exactly what they've been. And to this point this season, that's what Penn State is. But the nice thing is, for this team, for this program, they'll have the opportunity to change that script. You get into the playoffs, you win. Certainly, if you win a couple of games, you get to the Final Four. Well, now, yeah, now you are one of the elite. Now you're one of the, you know, truly big, big boys in college football. If you win a game, you know, to me, they have to win a game in the playoffs to at least, all right, yep, this program has taken at least that next step. Got to the playoffs, won a game, proved decisively that at least in this season, they are one of the last eight, top eight teams in the country. I think that's almost a must right now from a program perception standpoint. Getting into the playoffs and losing a game at home is not helping that national perception for Penn State football.
But I do believe that sixth position, and I do believe that's where they're headed for, Jeff, okay? Every permutation, and I know even in the – based on these latest rankings, the projection is Penn State at number six would play Georgia, who would be number 11. Georgia's not going to finish at number 11. If we, as we projected, Indiana loses, they're right now seventh. Georgia's going to go up a spot. I think the most likely opponents are maybe Ole Miss, maybe Indiana, okay? But yep. I think it'll be a game that, you're right, they're going to need to win it as a home game. But it's really nice, Jeff, is as that number six seed, they would then play the number three seed. That right now, it's probably Miami or the winner of the ACC, either the winner of the ACC, the winner of the Big 12, or, you know, Boise State or the Group of Five winner. That's a very winnable game, Jeff.
It absolutely is. And I think, again, that is the opportunity that is there for Penn State. They just need to recognize it and seize it. It is all there for the taking. Again, in turn, I'm just talking about national perception. And yes, I mean, actual accomplishments for this season. Those are games that Penn State certainly could win. And I would argue right now with where this team is at this year, to me, those are games that Penn State should win. This team should be one of the Final Four standing in my mind when it's all said and done. But they've got to go out and prove it, and they've got to go out and do it. And it starts with making sure you don't stub your toe against a team like Minnesota when all of these possibilities are in front of you.
Well, Jeff, you're exactly right. They can't stub their toe against Minnesota. Fortunately, I at least believe that they are playing their best football of the season right now. They're playing really well. We've seen it the last couple games. They bounce back well from that one loss against Ohio State. So I think they're in good shape. We're running out of time here, so I'm just going to give the listeners your prediction was 31-13 Penn State. My prediction, very similar. I have it 31-10 Penn State. Either way, that's good enough to keep them going. All right, Jeff, that's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.